Habakkuk chapter 1, page 940 in our church Bibles. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet received, Habakkuk's complaint. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen, or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. The Lord's answer. Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if I were told. If you were told, sorry. I am raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwelling places not their own. They are a feared and dreaded people. They are a law to themselves and promote their own honor. Their horses are swifter than leopards, fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their cavalry gallops headlong. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like a vulture swooping to devour. They all come bent on violence. Their hordes advance like a desert wind and gather prisoners like sand. They deride kings and scoff at rulers. They laugh at all fortified cities. They build earthen rams and capture them. Then they sweep past like the wind and go on, guilty men whose own strength is their God. Habakkuk's second complaint. O Lord, why are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, we will not die. O Lord, you have appointed them to execute judgment. O Rock, you have ordained them to punish. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? You have made them like fish in the sea, like sea creatures that have no ruler. The wicked foe pulls all of them up with hooks. He catches them in his net. He gathers them up in his dragnet, and so he rejoices and is glad. Therefore, he sacrifices his net and burns incense to his dragnet, for by his net he lives in luxury and enjoys the choicest of foods. Is he to keep on emptying his net, destroying nations without mercy? May God bless this food.
Thank you, Sarita, for bringing that reading from Habakkuk 1. Since our youth are with us this morning, let me explain you again what we do in our Sunday morning services, what we study about. We as a church are now studying on the book of minor prophets. Have you heard about minor prophets, youth? Yeah? So they are in the book, isn't it? How many minor prophets are there in the Bible? Any youth? 2? 22? 12. Good. So can you name them, 12 minor prophets? Come on, try. Youth can try. Good. 1 point. Let's see whether youth are getting 12 points in there. Habakkuk, and then Jonah. Oh, I told one. Okay, Joel. Jonah. Nahum. Amos. Micah. Are you turning to the first page in the Bible? I know, you are honest. Yeah? Any more try? Zephaniah, Malachi, Zechariah. I think one is missing, no, 3 are missing still. Hosea, yeah. Amos, yeah, Amos told. Obadiah, yes, one more. Yeah, Nahum, Micah told already. Haggai. These are the 12 minor prophets, and I think we have come to now Habakkuk. Habakkuk, you can see that minor prophets, minor, the term, it doesn't mean that they are physically short or lived for a short duration or their messages are not that important. In fact, the minor prophets have brought major messages. And some are still relevant to this present age. This morning we are going to study about the smallest book in the minor prophets, that is Habakkuk, which people normally ignore to read, except for a few quotable quotes from that book. Oh, okay. Can you recognize this? Can anyone recognize this? I don't think youth can answer this. I don't know whether you have born a clue. Mary is saying, yeah. Many years before, not long, long ago, just a few years before, there was an unusual and very excited television serial. It is called Mobile Army Surgery Hospital, and it is centered about Korea, and it is called MASH. Anyone seen that? MASH, yes. And do you know, there is one of the favorite characters in the MASH serial. Do you know what's his name? Nahum. Who watched that? Very good. Oh, it's there. Klinger. Klinger is one of the favorite characters in that serial. And this serial was rated as one of the top 10 serials in 2018. So it was a very famous one. And the Hebrew for clinger, the clasp, is called Habakkuk. Habakkuk, he was the man who was clinging on to God. We might heard about human clingers. Human clingers are not that popular, because they cling on to you and they ask, like, do you know what I mean? Do you know who I am? They are human clingers. But when people cling on to God, something begins to happen. Habakkuk was clinged on to God. He argued with God. He wrestled with God. He was neither interested to become a prophet, and there was nothing saying in all these three chapters of Habakkuk that he was a preacher either. He was not going and talking to anyone else in that his period of living that was recorded in the book of Habakkuk. But he talked with God. He argued with God. Now, don't ever try that, because we will fail in that argument. Habakkuk did not as well. And that was the entire message about Habakkuk's story. Now, imagine yourself that you are conversing with God. What complaint do you take to God? Any one complaint. What complaint do you take to God? Just while. Habakkuk, he was complaining about the state of the people and the city of God, Jerusalem. People were caught up in idolatry and immorality. The king of Israel leading the people to down the hill to do wrong things. Violence is filling everywhere. The whole streets of Jerusalem was filled with violence, and the justice was not prevailing. In that situation, Habakkuk was telling God, God, you are too little about this situation. You should have done something more. We should not laugh at him, because sometimes we might have said the same to God. God, you should be doing something now. Look what they are doing now. Habakkuk was complaining, wrestling with God with all his doubts. Whatever the doubts he had, he went to God and he presented that before God, and he was wrestling with God. I would say that that is the best place you can go and wrestle. You can just lay down the questions you have, the doubts you have, the failures you are meeting on this earth. Just we can go and lay that before God. Imagine if you are taking all those things to some humans, some people around you. They might sympathize with you, or they might argue with you, but you won't get the result. In Spurgeon's college, there was an unit we had on spirituality. One thing that stands out in my mind about that course, not the only thing, one of the things, yeah, it is about how true we need to be to God in our prayers. We need to be honest in our conversation with God. People do lots of prayers, they prepare themselves and they present themselves before God. I will show you a short video clip.
Right, for the first time when I started going to church, and I walk in and the pastor was like, he said, I want you to pray with your neighbor. And I'm like, well, my neighbor don't go to this church. I don't know if you want me to... You want me to call my neighbor on the phone? That's creepy. I ain't gonna do that. Right, then they explained to me, right, your neighbor is a person sitting next to you. Listen, I'm brand new at this Christian stuff. I didn't even know you're supposed to pray out loud, let alone with this lady. I don't even know this lady. What am I supposed to pray about? Lord, help these bumps go down on this lady's face. I don't know what to pray about. I don't know what I'm supposed to pray about, right? She went first. She was praying all good, and she must have been John the Baptist's little sister or something. Praying. She was like, Dear Heavenly Father, you said in your word in the 6th chapter, the third verse of the book of Matthew, the 601st word on page 1248. Lord, you said, but seek, S is in search, E is in everywhere, E is in excellent, K is in kingdom. You have an Alpha, Nisi, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha. I'm thinking, man, she even knows his nicknames. Now it's my turn to pray, right? But I don't got the spiritual vocabulary to just, but I'm not gonna let her outpray me. So I'm like, okay, God, first of all, you are good people. You know, you are good, Lord. You are good. You are good to the last drop, Lord. Because, Lord, I just gotta obey my thirst, Lord. You know, because choosy moms choose Jesus. So, Lord, because. You know, as the rocket's red glare, Lord, it gave proof to the night, Lord. I believe I can fly, amen.
We don't need to have any preparation, prayer to talk with God. We need to have a genuine conversation with God. Because after all, He knows everything even before we start our conversation. So this was a complaint Habakkuk was taking. God, you are too little about the situation. And the response from God, he was saying, I will bring verse. God dropped the bomb. Habakkuk might not have expected it. God was saying here, I am going to raise the Babylonians. Let me give you a brief glimpse who these Babylonians were. They are a feared and dreaded people. They are a law to themselves and promote their own honor. So these people were so aggressive. They were so treacherous, cruel, and deceitful. They believed own strength and they called that as their God. So God was responding here that these ruthless and treacherous and impetuous people are going to bring judgment upon you. Habakkuk was shocked. When he was inquiring God to deal about the violence that is existing around the land, God was responding that he is going to bring the evil workers to sweep the whole nation. It is like medicine is worse than the disease. This is what it is happening around us this day. When we are praying for the retardation in church growth, we are seeing an equal rise in other faith and atheists among us. What are we going to do? We can ask God, God, are you challenging us through them? Or are you going to use them to deal with us? We can ask like Habakkuk was asking. Nothing wrong in taking questions to God. He is there to clear our questions. What was the second complaint Habakkuk was taking? Habakkuk could not handle the fact that God is going to use the opposite force to deal or sort out with the issues, prevailing issues. So Habakkuk was telling God, God, you are too much. How could you appoint the treacherous to bring judgment upon us? How could you bring the evil people to sweep our nation? How could you use the sinners to punish us? Are you not our faithful God? Why, God? Why? That was the complaint. Why? Why is a very common question. Why did God allow this? Why did God allow this disease to me? Why did he not mind about our relationship? We simply throw questions. Why he is not doing anything? Someone said, if you criticize the weather, if you complain about the weather, you are criticizing the God who runs the universe. And you know, in the UK, we complain about the weather every day. If we don't know how to start our conversation, we'll go and say, Joshua, look at the weather. It is rainy today. It was rainy in the morning. What happened? So we always talk about that. But after hearing that, I'm becoming a little bit cautious to complain. So this was the complaint. Habakkuk was wrestling with God. And the response, God is saying in threefolded ways. God is not simply keeping quiet. He is moving from the other end. And what he is saying now, Habakkuk needs to do something when he is being quiet. That's the first thing. You know, after Habakkuk raised his second complaint, he decided to be quiet and wait and watch what God is going to do. So during that period, God is saying, Habakkuk, you need to do something. You need to share what I am going to give it to you. Write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. So God is asking him the instructions, whatever God is giving him, to write it down on the tablet, keep it visible to the people for them to read. So whoever runs that way can read the instructions of God, or whoever reads the instructions can run on it. So God was saying, Habakkuk, don't keep yourself simply waiting and watching. You need to be on action now. This is the last day we are living on this earth. We are nearing the end of our days. God is saying the same thing to us. Don't simply quiet watching or reading the Bible, keeping all the treasures within yourself. I know one of my friends, she read the Bible, the whole Bible, 47 times. She told 10 years before. I don't know how many she has now finished. We need to share it with the people, what we are getting from God. The gifts that God is giving us, to go and share it with the people. See, the gifts we have all pulled in here to share it with the people, those who are starving. On this harvest day, it is good to go through Habakkuk and seeing God is asking us to go and share good news, good work that he is doing in our lives. When we were in Japan, there was a university student, and she came to me and gave a beautiful traditional Japanese fan as a gift. And it was looking very cute. And I said, oh, thank you very much. Can I know why you are giving this to me now? And she said, it is my birthday. My mom has told me I need to share good things with people around us on this important occasions. What a good mom. Incredible mom. We need to have such moms around us. We can get gifts. So the point behind this, we need to go and share Christ in us to the people around. I know you people must be involved in, what is that called, FB? Not FBI, FB. Do you know what is FB? Adults can share. I know some, yeah. Space? Facebook. FB. Facebook. Thank you, Jesse. And what else? What else we have as a thing? FB is a Facebook and? Twitter. Instagram. Snapchat. WhatsApp, Bible, Viber, yeah. So I think every week they are producing something new. They are very busy in their business. Use that as the tool to share Christ with the people around. I think people are watching us through that Facebook and everything. So share what God has done to you in your life. Share some important Bible verses you have read on that day, on there. Share some good Christian songs in there. So these technologies must be used in that way. And we are fulfilling the first fold of what God has asked Habakkuk to do, the evangelism. Second one, God is asking Habakkuk to live the word. But the righteous person will live by his faithfulness. The righteous shall live by faith. This is an important verse which we read from the writings of Paul. And it was one of the outcries of reformers. And it is what Martin Luther's doctrine of justification. What does it mean? Whatever happens around you, or whomever come and invade you, you need to keep your faith in Christ. If you keep your faith in Christ, you will become righteous because of Christ and you shall live. In the internet, I know that the immorality is knocking the laptop windows every time. The other day, I was trying to search what are the different religions exist in the different parts of the world. So I just typed in Google, R-E-L. That's it. It was showing a list of nonsense relational relationships available around us. I was terrified. I was thinking about our youth. I know you are using your laptops and your computers for doing your homework because the technology has advanced. You are not writing on the notepad, notebook now. You are using laptops for the homework. Nothing wrong in it. We need to do that. But can I tell you a simple advice to you youth? Even for homework, when you are searching in the laptop, in the internet, can you please work in the lounge, not in your own special given rooms? In the closed environment, the temptation, it really triggers you. And when you search something, if you click on the other button on your right, it will take you somewhere else. That's it. You will get addicted into that. You want to watch it again and again. I don't know where it is going to take you. Sure, it is for declination. So please, please, my sincere advice to you youth, enjoy your room, decorate your room, and use it for sleeping and all those things. But when you use the internet searching, please come and keep it open. Let your mom pass by and see. Let your dad comes back from work and see what you are doing it. So that circle, even if it's something appears on your right, you will see, I'm ignoring it. So something, we need to guard ourselves in this age. And we need to keep faithful ourselves to Christ. And then, becoming righteous, and we will live. Third one, assurance. Habakkuk was worried, oh, these Babylonians are going to come and attack us, and God is using them, how it is going to go. So he was wrestling and complaining God with so many questions. But God is saying an assurance here. Five woes. Woe is a curse. This is just opposite to the blessing. So he is giving there five woes. How he is going to act upon those Babylonians. Whatever they have done before, it is going to turn to them back now. Have you heard the saying? Whatever he sows, the man will reap the same. So these Babylonians were plundering the goods and wealth from other people. So God is saying here, you plundered them and now you will be plundered. You were destroying people before, now you will be destroyed. You were drunkard and you were allowing people to drink and you will become disgraced. You were making people under your slavery. You will be enslaved. were following idolatry, worshipping idols, you will be insulted. So whatever we have sown, it is going to come back. The Babylonians are not left just like that to sweep the nation and rule the Israel. It didn't happen. So God is assuring again to Habakkuk, see, you do what I have asked you to do. Go and share the gospel to the world around and live according to the word, and I will do these things. This is my judgment period. I will judge. Whatever they have done, it will come back to them. Hearing all those answers, responses from God, made Habakkuk to pray with the praises. The first two chapters, Habakkuk was complaining. And now what happened in the third chapter? Hearing all those things, he is now giving praises to God. Thank you, Lord. That is the condition we have reached and we are doing in our lives. What would we do when we reach that limit of joy? Young children, do you receive any joy? Yeah? Do you have joy at home? Yeah. Do you have joy in the church? Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. What do you do when you are in joy? They will cook. They will jump. Yes.
Smile.
Some outcome will be very simple. Yes, Joshua, I agree to that. Anything else do you do in your joy? You will get joy, I know for sure. What do you do in joy? Shout, scream, and do you sing songs? Do you dance? Do you invite people for partying? Yeah? That's what Habakkuk was saying here. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crops fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer, and He enables me to tread on the heights. Habakkuk is sharing his joy here. He is saying here, like, when I heard what God has answered to me, my feet is not on my ground. I am just flying. I am just lifted up like the feet of a deer. So he is lifting up, bouncing and flying. That's a joy. But you know what is happening in the first two verses? Nothing great. You know what? I want to finish this by saying this. This particular verse, I have heard people in their prayers, and I have prayed as well. Considering my own personal situation, Lord, yes, as a fig tree doesn't produce, let me be in joy. So I have prayed that, and I have seen people praying it. But when you read Habakkuk, you get a revelation from the Holy Spirit. It is not for the localized situation to look at. God is asking us to have a big picture. Here, the Babylonians are going to invade the land and they are going to sweep not only the people, not only the cattle, not only the olive trees, not only the fig trees and wine. Everything will be swept. Even in that condition, Lord, I will rejoice. It is like seeing in a telescopic view. It is a world problem, not my own problem. That's the thing we need to see. Is it for me, God has said, or where Habakkuk is saying, and for what incident he is saying? Israelites, whenever they were in the war, God has asked Israelites many places to go and fight against Amalekites, Ammonites, and many people, Philistines like that. But in all those instructions, God has told even to kill the children and men and women and all those things. But he never mentioned about cutting the trees. If you read the whole Bible, he never told that. But Babylonians are the barbaric people, and they are going to cut the trees. They are going to stop the cultivation. But even in that situation, even if worst comes, Lord, I am going to rejoice, because I know my Savior has put the boundary around me, around my nation, around the place I am living, around the community I am having. So my job is to go and share God's word, to live according to his commandments, and be faithful. Amen.